I honestly, there aren't many athletes where I'm like, I honestly don't think this guy cares about what people think about him. Tuukka Rask is genuinely somebody. I don't think he knows that there's a faction online that's like, this guy. Dude is like super mentally tough. He's not getting it from Twitter because he's not on Twitter. Like, I don't even know if he has any social media, but he definitely gets it from the Bruins media. Like, they're all asking, they're all mouthpieces for what's going on Bruins Twitter, and some of them for different parts of Bruins Twitter. And he has to answer those questions. And I've never gotten the sense that he gives a shit at all. Hey, fucking spin it up, baby. It's going to be a weird energy for me tonight.
Welcome to the Brews and Bruins podcast, episode 47. It's an episode. I was going to say Tory Krug. Bruins have just won game two of their playoff series against the Washington Capitals in overtime. The nice little beer crack salute from Cam there. I'm Drew Johnson. I'm here with Chris Gere and Cam Hasbrook. There's the cold open.
Hold on. Let me wipe off my computer.
Since Chris is tied up, Cam, why don't you introduce what you're drinking? Wait. Advertisements. Brews and Bruins podcast is sponsored by DraftKings. It's playoff time. Big stakes, bigger promotion.
Sweat.
Every day of basketball's playoffs, DraftKings will have $20,000
in total prizes
up for grabs. The best part? It's free to get your shot at these daily cash prizes. DraftKings will be offering two free to play pools every day of the NBA playoffs, offering players a free shot at $20,000 in total prizes. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests. You just have to answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Yeah, there's plenty of hockey on DraftKings. Like, just if you're a hockey fan and don't want to be betting on all these deals, just sign up for DraftKings with the promo code THPN and then go enter some hockey. Promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details. I believe one of you has the other.
Hey, I got it. Hey, are you a diehard Boston sports fan?
Oh, diehard kid.
Yeah.
Hey, you diehard kid. Well, Brews and Bruins, fun fact, sponsored by diehardbostonsportsfans.com. And they got some merch. None of us are wearing it right now because, you know, laundry.
Mine's in the wash. Yep.
But they got this new black and gold till I'm dead and cold t-shirt, and we all have it. And you know, you want to be just like us. I think that's some flawed logic.
That's a bad ad read right there.
Oh,
shit. We gotta give the shirts back.
We can swear during this ad read, yeah, but I mean, like, go get yourself one. Use the promo code BRUS. It's a much simpler promo code than our past promo codes. Just throw in BRUS. Not BRUISE, like BRUS, like BREWS. You know, like the beers. And yeah, I think that gets you like 10% off or something like that. So do that. Help us out. Help our buddy Steve out. And yeah.
Support local businesses, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Bruins, as I had said, just won in overtime over the Caps.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that happened. But before we dive into that, Cam, what are you drinking this evening?
Before we Tom Wilson into that.
What go into it? Hi.
Yeah.
No, dive into it.
Oh.
You know, got called for embellishment tonight. That was joke.
Yeah, I got it.
I think it was pretty good. I think it was probably too high concept for.
I think it landed. It was a little above the. Yeah. All right.
This is going great.
I'm drinking a New Hampshire Lemon Blueberry Pale Ale. It's seasonal from Woodstock Inn Brewery. I was trying to find it there. Malt beverage brewed with spice and natural flavor. I love blueberry and I love lemon. Interesting in a beer, so let's give it a go here. Very refreshing. Definitely a beach kind of beer. Not as powerful as you'd expect. I would expect a little more blueberry. It's more of an aroma. So drinkability, gonna be high. You could definitely crush a bunch of these at the beach. Give it like a solid 33. Taste though, like a probably about 11, I think, on the taste scale. Good beer though.
That's cool. All right. I'm double fisting. I got two beers that I've had on this podcast before, and these are the two beers that got me through that game. So I wanted to represent. I got the Crowns and Hops Elevated Cipher IPA. Shouts to that brewery. It's a black owned brewery outside of LA. And I got some cool merch too. They have a collab with Vans. So you can get one of these shirts. I know we're not doing video on this really, but maybe soon again. So, you know, go back and edit up this video, Drew, so that you can see this Crowns and Hops shirt with Vans. They also got a pair of shoes. That's pretty cool. I don't have
pair of shoes.
That's cool. And really excellent beer.
Was that Vans small business competition that they were doing where they were designing shoes? No way, because there was a dumpling house in Portland that also had it, and they had their own shoes, and they were kind of gross. Actually, those I was not a fan of. I kind of want to go try the restaurant though. That was kind of.
I can't imagine dumpling shoes, but yeah. But
I don't think it was like yeah.
but the beer I'm going to feature on this podcast because I rated that beer on the last one. I've had it on here before, but it's been a while since I've rated it. So Lance, you go back and compare. This is the Secret Spot Hazy IPA from Duckfoot Brewing out here in San Diego. And I've been crushing on these beers in both ways that I mean that. And so I was originally told that this is a limited release, but also I discovered today it says spring 2018 release on it. So people must be really liking it because it's been like 3 years and they're just like, yeah, okay, we're going to keep making these.
Or people really didn't like it and they didn't keep making them and you're drinking a three-year-old beer, but I hope the former for you.
It's just incredible. It's just like so much flavor, like just punches you in the face with flavor.
If you like getting punched in the face, this is the beer for you.
It shoulders you in the face like Tom Wilson.
Hey, give him some respect. He'd at least give you the elbow the forearm shiver, yeah.
it's Citra and Motueka hops, whereas Elevated Cipher is brewed with Mosaic and Citra hops, aka the big homies. And man, this beer is 37 out of 37 on the taste scale. Drinkability, it's probably somewhere in the 19 range. I want to say 19. It's pretty drinkable for an IPA. It's a hazy 7.4%. Don't want to be pounding these all day, but I'll drink them with my boys while I'm talking hockey, you know?
Hell yeah. I'm drinking some nice iced water. Ice water in my nice Brews and Bruins cup. It's not a cup, bottle. It's a
Norris Blast Bruins. That would be a Boston Bruins.
Yeah. Oh, did I say it was a Bruins?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm drinking ice water because I got my second dose today, which means I no longer have to wear a condom, is what I hear. That's have you not seen? It was a TikTok that went like viral a couple weeks ago. The guy is at one of those drive-up stations, and then he asked the National Guardman that he has to wear condoms anymore.
Oh, anyway, that might be edited out. We don't know. I'll see.
Yeah, sorry I ran that off the rails, but that was that felt important.
Yeah, no, that was important. So yeah, Bruins overtime win. I want to get some initial thoughts on the game because, I mean, it was great. The first couple minutes were great. And then the last couple minutes were great. But everything in between, it seemed the Bruins were fucking beat the entire time. It seemed the Caps had full control. But, you know, the Bruins proved if you play 10 minutes, you can win a hockey game.
That's not the mentality whatsoever that they need to be working with going forward, of course. But, yeah, I mean, I'll start off. I mean, I think, yeah, you're looking for a much more complete effort, I think, in game three. I mean, getting the lead early was solid. Granted, it wasn't the best start, but they found a way to get on the board and then gave it up and then found a way to get on the board again. Overall, again. I mean, you know, it's – late in that third period, you especially when you're down 3-2, you're thinking like, oh shit, man, that overtime in game one might be a lot more important than we thought it might be. You know what I mean? Going back down to 2-0, potentially going home. At the end of the day, you score the tying goal, you end up winning it in OT right off the bat, which we'll get to in a sec. But a rocky start, maybe. I think definitely you want to see a more complete effort from the Bruins, but at the same time, you did your job on the road. You won 1 out of 2, and now you got to go home and do your job. So, not the end of the world there.
It's like the Pats, do your job. Yeah, I heard. I thought a spaceship was landing above you, Cam.
Yeah, I think
heard,
it's like, a plane or something.
Or like I heard some like ghosts in the background. I don't know, just some weird shit going on in your house. Chris, your initial thoughts on how the Bruins played prior to OT?
Yeah, I'm just like, awful slog, really tough to watch stuff. I mean, if we're talking game one, I do think I liked what Billy Jaffe said before the game tonight. Sorry, my voice is just like absolutely gone, but Billy Jaffe was going through some highlights with the Nesson guys and saying like, hey, I think we do have to give a lot of credit to, you know, what the Caps have been doing defensively, trying to eliminate opportunities for the Bruins. And, you know, as much as it's frustrating to watch the Bruins not shoot on net with a decrepit old Craig Anderson in net, the Caps have done a really good job of both controlling possession. Even though the shot numbers look good, pretty even, I feel like the possession always seems more secure, at least when the Caps have it. And maybe that's just like pessimism on my part when I'm watching these games, but it just kind of feels like the ice is tilted a little bit in their favor. And then, I mean, the depth scoring has been really good for the Bruins. That's something that has been important. And I mean, obviously you want your top two lines scoring, and that happened tonight with Bergeron and Hall scoring. So overall, I think, yeah. And not to mention Brad Marchand in overtime, but that was kind of like a weird quick play that, you know, David Krejci on the ice and
David Krejci made a David Krejci had a great keep in that just kept that play alive.
I don't want to bunch that in with like the top two lines scoring, even though it was like players from the top two lines on the ice. it wasn't like a line play. It was a like off the face off kind of set play.
Although that Pasternak keep setup was really leading up to the that's the Bergeron goal, right?
Yep.
Is that the Yeah. So that was a hell of a play.
I think it was pretty clear the Caps dominated the physical side of the play, which when Chris and I talked to Hockey Troll on the last episode previewing the series, that prediction of his or that insight of his definitely rang true on how if they're struggling to get the puck in the net, they're just going to wear down the team until they can, their opposing team until they can. And they certainly did that. A lot of the time, it seemed like the Bruins are just flat out scared. They were just hearing footsteps. I think, especially on the defensive side, when, you know, all Washington really had to do was dump it in deep and then get bodies on whatever defenseman, Bruins defenseman picked up the puck. Cause they, a lot of the turnovers they made were because it looked like they were hearing footsteps. They're just trying to get rid of the puck quick so that they could dodge a hit or maybe discourage a hit that would become a late hit if they finished it, which was definitely concerning because the Bruins don't really have that size. They did respond and they did throw hits. They were physical back, but it just felt like they were getting beat up back there. And that's what caused a lot of turnovers. And that's what led to Washington having a lot of the possession for most of that game. But when it counted, they got the job done and some stellar play by Tuukka Rask to keep him in that game. It seemed like countless number of saves that he made to that. You're really like, how the hell did he wind up actually getting his body on that? Because
with the pads tonight.
Yeah.
Count of how many saves he made.
Well, I know that, but there were a lot where it was just complete traffic in the crease. There's just chaos in the crease and he still winds up keeping.
And that's a huge reason why this game was so unenjoyable to watch. It was I don't know if you can quantify that level of stress. I think that's like on its own island in terms of stress and anxiety, like the stress of a bouncing puck, just like juggling around in the crease somewhere. And you don't know if someone's just going to bat it in or like, you know, those random ass shots from the point that just kind of deflect off people.
Defenseman swooping in out of nowhere. And yeah, that's the
and
shit.
I mean, and those happened twice tonight. I mean, and you can say what you want about the one that kind of trickled in, like, yeah, you want to could have saved that one. And maybe you want him being a little more aggressive on that high slot tip, but I'm also very rarely going to blame a goalie for a high slot tip that goes in the top corner. So, you know.
Yeah, Andrew Raycroft tweeted at one point, this was a couple hours, it was at 8:18 p.m., so it was like after that first goal, or maybe it was the second one at that point, I don't know. But he said all five Capitals goals in the series have been deflected or tipped. Hashtag goalie frustration.
Yeah, and there are some of those that where it's like, okay, the one in overtime in game one got deflected right into Tuukka's chest, and yeah, like you want him to make that safe, but mm-hmm. also you got a game in which like 40 shots on goal and Tuukka keeps them in the game for enough time for Taylor Hall to tie up the game and force overtime. And in game one, Tuukka Rask gave up only two goals in regulation in a game that the Capitals were absolutely dominating and gave the Bruins an opportunity to win. And neither of those two games, even if the Bruins had won game one, would have qualified as Tuukka Rask stealing a game. But all you want at this point is giving the Bruins a chance to win and then maybe steal one later down the line.
Yeah, but he doesn't steal it in the sense that he was the reason that they won, or the sole reason that they won, but you swap in Tristan Jarry and you lost the game. So, you know, it's like, how do you compare, you know, not to shit. I know it's been like real hip shitting on Tristan Jarry because he had a bad game, but like, you know.
That's what the kids are doing nowadays.
Yeah. I also sent that to you guys tongue in cheek because I didn't see the rest of the game, so I didn't even know that like he was having a shitty game. But the Kyle Palmieri goal where he like batted a puck out of the air into the puck sized hole that Tristan Jarry had left.
Yeah.
Like barely grazed off his helmet into the goal, and I was just like, oh man. Blew that game.
You know, I didn't have a great game.
I just love it. Like, man, the dumbest people in hockey always just like every time there's a goal, it's a fucking goalie's fault. And it was really gratifying to see Tuukka Rask give up a goal that was entirely Kevin Miller's fault.
Yeah.
Let's
to our next segment. What the fuck is Kevin Miller doing in the ice right now?
I just love
he threw a hit. He threw a big hit at the beginning of the game, and then
he also had a really nice play. Maybe like 10 minutes before the goal, he gave up. I forget exactly what the play was, but I think he knocked somebody off the puck and turned it around and made a pass to one of the forwards to break out of the zone. It was something where I recognized that. And I was like, oh, I better like tweet this because it's one of the very few times I've seen Kevin Miller do something like meaningful on the ice. And then 10 minutes later, he literally gives up a goal.
That's he had trouble holding the puck in the zone tonight, just fumbling at the blue line and getting a possession, which obviously was very hard to come by for the Bruins tonight, sustained offensive pressure. So that's the kind of thing that can just kill momentum.
I'm on the fence about Kevin Miller right now because he's a much better player than Jared Tenorti, and he's a better player than Connor Clifton. And I hesitate a little bit because it's not reliable. Yeah. Clifton right now is giving me pause as well because he hadn't played particularly well at the end of the season and was making a lot of mistakes, drunk or taking penalties and, you know, turning the puck over.
He's drunk on the ice.
Yeah, I thought you said drunk too.
Yeah.
I was going to say drawing penalties, but he was not drawing penalties. He's just taking penalties.
He was just
fucking wasted on the ice out there. You can't have that when it comes to playoff time. But also, I like Jared Tenorti is not a better player than either Connor Clifton or Kevin Miller.
But he's bigger.
I mean, I don't think he does any of the things that Kevin Miller is failing at better than Kevin Miller. So I don't know if that's a fix. I just like don't want to see Kevin Miller on the ice anymore right now.
Yeah, I just want to see reduced like ice time. But then
he barely played in the first period, which was great.
Well, that was because he was like injured or something too. I don't really know.
I think he was in their dressing room. He wasn't even on the bench, so I think there was an injury there.
The first period ice time 41 seconds, and then them talking about how important he was with the 41 seconds of ice time, and I was like.
Yeah, the only standouts for me were Bergeron as it just not really going above and beyond, but just being Bergeron, which is like
that
enough to be a great player. Bergeron, Marchie looked great. He was physically engaged after the whistle. Extracurricular shit is always an indicator that he's emotionally invested. And when he's emotionally invested, he plays fucking great.
Stupid though a couple times.
Oh, he pulled some stupid shit, but that also means he's doing good.
You can't be giving Washington any power plays that you don't absolutely
He's really lucky.
Doing that tonight.
He's really lucky that at one point the refs were just like, all right, no matter what, both players go. I don't care. There were a couple of times where it was like, really? You're sending both off? And when the Bruins should have been the one going on the penalty kill.
There was the one where Garnet Hathaway kneeled directly on Marchand's back.
And someone else came over and was on top of him too.
I got a fantastic reply from like some Caps fan with like 6 followers. He was like, well, the thing that the video obviously doesn't show is that Hathaway had his hands on the crossbar holding himself up. And I was like, yeah, obviously holding himself up to keep all of his weight off Brad Marchand rather than to keep himself from falling. What a good Samaritan that guy is. Dude was clearly like putting effort into putting weight on Marchand's kidney. I don't necessarily want a call there. And I don't think anybody other than like Marchand or like Tom Wilson gets a call like for that little cross check there in the crease either. And I think later on in the game, that was kind of the overreaction was every time there was a little thing, got to send them both. I don't think Marchand sticking his stick in Anthony Mantha's face was a penalty. And I guess if you're going to call that a penalty, you have to call Anthony Mantha like throwing his head back dramatically an embellishment or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that's what they called, but I didn't think the Tom Wilson dive was that bad either.
No, it wasn't.
I'm usually.
I don't think it was a particularly atrocious interference. So I think that's a pretty routine play. I think it was definitely
a trip.
I think it was definition interference, but I think that's a play that gets let go a lot, and that's especially in a playoff game.
Yeah, I'm pretty hardcore against the, like, if you call the penalty, also calling the embellishment. Like, if it was a penalty, how's it embellishment?
No, I'm very against that.
Unless someone's doing the, like, full Marcus Smart, like, tossing the head back and, like, diving all over the place even after they get tripped or slashed or whatever, it's pretty hard to, like, make that judgment that they were,
you're like, then you just know there was a penalty, but you're not
especially
sure,
like, especially someone who's on skates. Like, I've watched the replay of the Tom Wilson thing several times because I replied to a tweet that was asking Colin to send the video of that, and and I watched it a couple of times and I was like, yeah, I mean, like, he's on skates, he kind of like fell in a weird direction and kind of flailed because he was trying not to fall weird.
Yeah, like, what are you supposed to do? Just like wrap your arms around your body and just fall into it, like a,
honestly, it looked like he was pretty close to hurting his knee because like his leg kind of bent weird. And I'm not gonna fault any player from like flailing about weirdly trying to recover from falling on skates. You're just not gonna find me on that side of the argument.
If you see me on skates, that's all I'm doing. I'm just flailing.
I have no problem sending both guys when it's like an obvious scrum. Like I think the Mike Riley one was like he probably was the one who deserved to go more, but also they were both kind of fucking around. Like Connor Sherry like started it, so I'm not mad about sending them both there. But I think that was probably the only one where I'm like, yeah, they both needed to go. Especially when both guys are way behind the play, very obvious. Now where it's like a scrum in front of the goalie,
and the official is standing over them,
just like all the way back there. Yeah,
so he doesn't know, and you're done there.
Yeah,
the NBC. I watched the NBC broadcast. I don't know about you guys, but like they were making a huge deal out of the Craig Smith, and they were like, "I wouldn't be surprised if Craig, so the NHL, looks at that one later." Which I was like, "I don't know. Like, it's not a good play, but it's like a
looks at what? Cross
check." I didn't even see anything, and like they looked like he was going to get a fine or something. They said, "I wouldn't." The NHL player safety looks at everything, and they're going to take a look at that.
Yeah, you guys are really trying to pump NHL player safety's tires right now.
There was in that little altercation he had, there wasn't really much different between that and the Riley versus whoever the fuck it was.
Connor Sherry,
thank you. You know, some random player on the Caps.
Nope. UMass legend, Connor Sherry.
Okay, whatever.
So
Quinnipiac legend, yeah. Connor Clifton. I had been just saying my standout was also, I want to say, McAvoy on the defensive end of things. I think Riley had some flashes of good puck movement and some good plays, but I think like Carlo was kind of lacking. Grizzlick seemed like one of those players who just wasn't himself moving the puck.
So it's funny that you said that. I tweeted maybe like midway third period that like I never know how to judge this, but it feels like Brandon Carlo's having a hell of a game.
No, Brandon Carlo had a couple of really good like breakups.
He had some good defensive plays, but moving the puck, he wasn't great. I was more focusing on the breakouts because the breakouts were atrocious. They did have some good defensive
plays. Mike Riley had some fucking great breakouts.
He did. There was, but there were also instances where, like,
you shut your mouth when you're talking it over. Mike Riley is a saint. He should retire a Bruin.
I think Jake DeBrusque had a really good game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
That's one I forgot to mention for sure.
He almost scored like two more goals. Shouts to Dr. Brusque.
Yeah. Jake the Snake coming out for playoff time out of his snake hole. I don't know how you say that.
The Snake Hole Lounge.
Yeah.
The Snake Hole Lounge. That's the title of this episode of Bruce and Bruin. All right. As we slowly go off the rails, we have an internal ad. The Hockey Podcast Network has something to say.
Oh, shit. Is it us?
Hello, my name is Richard Blosser, host of the Grit and Barrett podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network, covering the Hershey Bears, the 11-time Calder Cup champions of the American Hockey League, and the 2018 Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals. Each Tuesday, I recap Bears games, give you Bears news, notes, and nuggets, and all of the hockey news that matters to me, whether it's the American Hockey League, the NHL, or banter about hockey jerseys. This hack brings you high energy.
They score! Connor McMichael has ended the game!
Unfiltered. Look, Herco's really going to have to work hard to bring back the fan base from this pandemic, because you can't just rely on vaccinations. You have a fan base that is old, stubborn, and very reluctant to change. Not to mention you got to work on bringing back families, and then whatever fan base you can try and get back from other parts of the state. You just can't rely on people coming out from 81 and 78. You got to work on a fan base that's very, very hesitant to change. And at times, unfocused. Look, Ovechkin is basically the guy who comes into the bar, kicks open the door, and says, "Who ordered a White Russian, huh?" Well, we all know Sidney Crosby is the guy who enters in from the side door, red carpet, VIP, Armani suits, and alligator shoes. That's just the type of guys they are. So join me every Tuesday here on the Hockey Podcast Network for the Grit and Barrett Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Grit and Barrett P1. That's Grit, G-R-I-T, and B-E-A-R-I-T P1 on Twitter. Available wherever you get all your podcasts. Part of the Hockey Podcast Network.
Part of that. Oh God.
I wish we had been able to write an ad like that. That was incredible. That was great. I love it. I love that we have a Hershey Bears podcast.
Yeah,
two, love whoever the host. He say his name was Connor.
Yeah, it's Connor Sherry.
Yeah, Cam left. Cam's just like, fuck this. I can't be here. I tuned out for like a hot second, and then suddenly he's talking about the Capitals and the Penguins. He's like a Crosby and Ovechkin. Just love it. Incredible stuff.
Yeah. What next? We lost Cam.
Yeah, I don't like Cam legitimately just left. Let's talk about going forward. Like what, I mean, also stupid questions, but like what do we want to see from the Bruins going forward? It's Jeremy Swayman.
Really?
I mean, honestly, like if I'm being completely honest, I have this like chaotic bone in my body that's just like, goalies are totally fucking random. And if you have a guy who just like can't miss every game, like the dude's only given up 3 goals in one game, just fucking play him, like do it. And then the like rational bone in my body's like the rational brain, I guess, in my skull. You know how
I know you works. I do understand.
Is like, hey, yeah, Tuukka Rask has this insane amount of playoff experience, which I don't know how much like the playoff experience from 2013 matters right now, but you know, I think 2019 matters right now. That version of Tuukka Rask was very good, and I think can apply now. The 2013 Tuukka Rask doesn't exist anymore, but this version is also very good. And it's such a fine line when people talk about, oh, this guy is like emotionally soft versus just like this guy is so calm and so chill in these moments of total fucking chaos, mm-hmm. that causing us the most anxiety we've had all year in a year of a pandemic. And this guy's just kind of like calm in the crease. And I think not only does that, you know, give me a certain level of confidence. Did Drew just like not let you in for a while? Okay.
No, my mic and camera were like reading on the computer. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but
It's happened to me. We're talking about Tuukka Rask right now, and I'm saying,
oh, he's pretty like, good at goalie.
Yeah. So you missed a real hot take by me, but we're gonna let you, stew
Swayman.
On. Oh yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was just like
no, it was that Tuukka Rask can't win the big games. Is what
the chaotic bones in my body are just like, yeah, we'll fucking play Jeremy Swayman because goalie, doesn't matter. It's like you just find the hot goalie and just like play that guy. But Tuukka Rask, like having that where I was going is just having that level of calm in your crease. I imagine probably provides a level of calm in your defense, which right now is not playing very well. And maybe having that confidence, having that confidence behind you, like even if they do say that they're confident in Jeremy Swayman, I feel like subconsciously knowing that Tuukka Rask is back there, the guy who brought you to game 7 of the Stanley Cup final in 2019, when you make a certain play, when you're making a split decision, you don't have time to think like, oh, it's Tuukka versus Swayman back there. Like you're obviously not thinking that, but you know, just on a base level, having that level of calm versus like, oh, we have a rookie back there. What if he gives up 2 goals like back to back real quick? Like, how's he going to react to that? Not knowing how he reacts to that versus like Tuukka got a lot of experience giving up back to back goals real quickly. And then he could just have a fucking shutout for the rest of the game. Cause that happens all the time. I don't think I've ever seen a player not care about giving up goals more than Tuukka Rask. And like, obviously we've seen him give up a lot of shits about giving
give
up
many
bad
shits.
Goals.
Yeah.
But I honestly, there aren't many athletes where I'm like, I honestly don't think this guy cares about what people think about him. Tuukka Rask is genuinely somebody I don't think he knows that there's a fucking faction online that's like, fuck this guy.
I was going to say, if he did pay attention to that and did care, then he wouldn't be a goaltender in Boston right now, because
I don't know. I really don't. He might anyway. I think Chris
also,
was right.
I think it's a huge bullet in the chamber against the Tuukka is soft crowd too. Like, dude is like super mentally tough. Just dealing with,
which is the irony, because it's what everybody says is they're like, oh, he's not mentally tough, he can't do it in the big games, he faced illnesses.
No, that and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying like it's a bullet in the chamber against that crowd that says he's not mentally tough, because he's not getting it from Twitter, because he's not on Twitter. Like, I don't even know if he has any social media, but he,
I think Instagram
maybe, but he definitely gets it from the Bruins media. Like, they're all asking, they're all mouthpieces for what's going on Bruins Twitter, and some of them for different parts of Bruins Twitter. And he has to answer those questions. And I've never gotten the sense that he gives a shit at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the slightest bit.
Back to what started the Swayman, which started the Tuukka, which is what do we want to see from the Bruins going ahead in the series?
Drew is like, what? So I said, what do we want to see weird from the Bruins?
It's weird when I'm sober that I can actually follow what's going on in this podcast.
It would have taken me like half an hour to get back there.
I want more physical play, but I really think the Bruins kind of gave what they have physically, and it just isn't going to match up to what the Caps have. So what you have to do is you have to outskate them. You have to answer with speed. And the Bruins have plenty of speed. I feel like they were just getting shut down so much in the neutral zone on the breakouts that they kind of had to take their time. And there's a real lockdown on the blue line on the other end on the Caps' behalf. So really just got to find a way to have those breakouts with speed and skate around the D or skate through. And it's just, you need speed through that neutral zone to have any success the way they're playing, because the Caps are willing to step up and throw a hit. So if you can deke a guy out like that, or you got another guy streaking down the wing that you can pass it off to, then you're going to get some odd man rushes. I don't think the Bruins had like any odd man rushes. Maybe one,
had a couple,
maybe two, maybe three, four, five.
Coil to DeBrusque. That was a
that was
crazy. You should have shot on the two on one. You
tried to, all right, fuck me.
Charlie McAvoy had a real nice opportunity, and then he got instead. we're talking about, I mean the Bruins have so many players who can do stuff like that. We're talking about Brad Marchand, we're talking about David Pastrnak, Taylor Hall, Craig Smith even can do that. We got Matt Grizzlick. There's so many players the Bruins have that can, Jake DeBrusk even at this point, can carry pucks into the zone and evade defenders. And what it takes is layers. And I don't think the layers have been there. And you did allude to that, Drew, like the neutral zone defense has been so good, and layers don't matter if you don't get through the neutral zone.
Exactly.
And getting pucks in deep doesn't matter if you can't beat the Caps through the neutral zone, because then they're going to beat you to the puck. And I mean, I don't know enough about hockey X's and O's to figure out how to do that, but I do know that the Bruins have all of these players who know how to skate the puck into the zone. And
Bruce Cassidy.
I mean, David Krejci is such a good player at navigating his way through heavy defenses. Like, that's a guy you got to rely on. Even Charlie Coyle looked pretty good tonight at avoiding defenders. I think you just got to focus on the players that can get you through that kind of defense and get the puck to those guys. And it all comes down to Mike Riley, because he can do that. He can get the puck to those guys.
He can get it out of the zone. Yeah, well, I think the thing that Riley does so well, which a lot of, I think the Bruins need to do work on to get through that Caps neutral zone press, is just to kind of stretch that pass a little bit, because the Caps want to play tight, grind it out hockey, because they have that physical advantage. So the way to counter that is to stretch it and open up that opportunity, or open up that space, so you have guys like Taylor Hall bursting up a wing. Try to stretch that to a point where they can't just body him into a corner and subdue him and essentially cancel him out. Try to stretch it over to the, you know, east-west a little bit, and then go north-south, I would think is the way they're going to try to do that. But credit to Washington. They forechecked very smartly on both ends. They haven't given Boston any chances on those odd man rushes. And the Bruins are definitely a little too feel them out. They feel like watching them, it seems like they feel like they know they're going to give up the puck once they get to that point. And I think that's part of the reason that you didn't really see that desperate offense until they needed to score, because they were just kind of sitting back and nervous about getting caught, because the Caps can transition pretty well. It seemed like they were a little nervous about getting caught back going the other direction. So a little more confidence there, I think, would go a long way as well.
Yeah, I think that was a game the Caps really actually deserved to win, having, I think, dominated play more than the Bruins. And I think getting better chances for the most part than the Bruins. But, you know, at the end of the day, as Chris loves to say, hockey's weird and you just get a couple bounces your way, such as what happened in the crease for the Taylor Hall goal. Well,
even the Jake DeBrusk goal, that was a weird bounce too.
But on the Hall goal, it was just that Anderson couldn't find a way to cover the puck, and they dug and dug and dug, and it finally went in. And the took a weird bounce.
Bergeron goal where just a weird bounce somewhere. You know, that's
how. I mean, honestly, the Bergeron goal should have been saved by Craig Anderson, which is why they should fucking put some pucks on.
Yeah, that's, I think Bergeron had the right idea tonight. He was firing on that. Yeah.
You both said you watched the NBC broadcast, right?
Yeah.
So on Nessun, Jack Edwards was filling us with fun facts, filling our brains with fun facts.
Sounds
great. Craig Anderson was a Bruin for 12 days back in 2006, because Andrew Raycroft got injured, and Toivonen was not ready. They didn't think he was ready to be called up and take some starting.
But Hannu Toivonen
starts. The blonde beast, as I like to call him.
As he's known throughout the land.
Yeah, he's known throughout the land as the blonde. We have another nickname.
We don't even have to mention the nickname, because everybody knows.
Yeah, for how often we bring up such a
common nickname that everyone uses.
But so they claimed Craig Anderson on waivers, but then they were like, hey, this Tim Thomas guy is showing some promise. Let's throw him in for a couple starts. And they went 6-2-1. So they never played Craig Anderson. But he was a Bruin for 12 days.
Wow. That is a legitimately fun fact. Wild that, you know, Craig Anderson, pretty good career. One of his main biggest issue, I guess, would be he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I mean, even before like legitimate, like scary life threatening health issues, just had some like real tough times staying healthy for full seasons. But, you know, anytime he's been regularly playing, he's been a really solid NHL goalie, and it's really cool to see him still be able to, you know, command a crease for an NHL team. I would rather, like I said in our episode with Hockey Troll, I would rather him not have his great story against the Bruins. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the most universally loved players in the NHL by the players and fans. So, yeah, good for him.
Good for him. I guess one last thing, at least on my mind, was that Cassidy, during one of the intermissions, I think it was going into the third, switched up the bottom two lines. He moved Coyle to center, had DeBrusk come up on that third line.
that was the starting line.
They had Coyle at center. I thought they had Corrali on that line.
No, Coyle started at center on the third line.
Really?
Yeah, it was Richie, Coyle, and DeBrusk.
Oh, Jack was saying they switched it up. They moved him over to center. Maybe he was talking about from game one or something. I don't know.
Yeah, probably from game one. No, that was the our good friend Connor Ryan tweeted out the lines before the game. And one of his...
Well, see what you do to me, Jack Edwards?
He was tweeting out the expected goals or whatever. Or no, he just said... I think he just said the 5-on-5 goals of that line over the course of the season. They gave up only one 5-on-5 goal during the regular season as a line, but also only scored one 5-on-5 goal as a line, but also scored one in the first like 10 minutes as a, or not 10 minutes on ice, but like first couple minutes on ice as a line. In the
better lines, I'd say. Yeah.
My thinking though is heading into game three, I would like to see Trent, Fred, and Eric play. I'd like to see Trent Frederick play. I think the fourth line, not that Trent Frederick's this big bruiser who's going to come out and like be super duper physical, but that fourth line did get pushed around. In this series, I haven't really seen the fourth line have those shifts where they're like, you know, once Lazar joined the team, where they just were really dominant in possession wise, and really dictated the pace of play when they were out there. I haven't seen that, and I'd like to see a shakeup. Maybe sit Wagner and
I don't Frederick think Wagner deserves to be out there right now. I don't know who plays right wing in that situation, because
Trent Frederick, he'll do it all.
Trent Fred Eric is a left winger or a center, but you know.
All right.
I have one more announcement.
Hell yeah.
I immediately texted great friend of the pod, Kat Silverman, that I am in the process of purchasing my first goalie setup. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
Going back to the leagues.
Back to the
big pipes. Leagues.
So we'll keep you updated on that, because it's going to make for some good content down the road, I think. So,
what would you say? Your stand up, butterfly, hybrid? What's your game like?
I would like to be a butterfly, a goaltender. I think ideally it would be.
Or just a butterfly in general.
I would like to be a butterfly. I want to be a David Pastrnak, like an elephant.
You're going to get a butterfly tramp stamp.
A butterfly. Yeah. So stay tuned.
Nice.
My apartment is 900 degrees.
900 degrees
afternoon delight. we haven't sung out in a while.
That's our
been scene. Sticks and stones together make sparks ignite, and the thought of the news getting so excited.
Sky rockets in flight.
Ooh, afternoon delight.
I can never not think of Good Will Hunting when I hear that song.
Afternoon delight.
I go get a coffee.
This has been the Bruising Bruins podcast, sponsored by nobody now. Good night.